Hello, and welcome to Very Fantastic Discoveries. I am your host, Junji Fulmer. First off, I said that I would be doing the second book of the series of events, and I intend to keep that promise. Let's get started. In our first episode, which featured the first chapter in the lives of the Baudelaire orphans, they lost their parents and their home in a terrible fire. The incompetent family banker, Mr. Poe, placed them in the care of a vile villain named Count Olaf. After the Baudelaire children uncovered Olaf's dastardly plot to get a hold of their inheritance, Mr. Poe sent them to live with a herpetologist named Dr. Montgomery Montgomery. Misfortune is a recurring theme in the Baudelaire's lives, and this is no exception. When they first arrived at the house of Dr. Montgomery, he politely treated them to some delicious coconut cream cake. He then goes on to be nothing but kind to Violet, Klaus, and Sunny. He shows them his extensive collection of reptiles, including the wrongly named incredibly deadly viper, who becomes friends with Sunny quickly and would never hurt a soul. He shows them how to handle the likes of the inky newt, and he even tells them that when he goes to the jungle of Peru to search for new specimens, they will be at his side. One day, though, a stranger by the name of Stefano comes into the house. He is a replacement for Dr. Montgomery's assistant, Gustave, who took his leave of Dr. Montgomery before the Baudelaires ever got to meet him. The Baudelaires can see quickly that Stefano is not who he seems. He is actually Count Olaf in disguise. He threatened Sunny with a knife to keep them from telling Dr. Montgomery this. Dr. Montgomery suspects that Stefano is a spy for his rivals in the Herpetological Society and is unaware that he is actually Count Olaf. After a showing of the movie Zombies in the Snow, Dr. Montgomery tears up Count Olaf's ticket to Peru. Unfortunately, Dr. Montgomery is found dead the next morning, and Violet, Klaus, and Sunny are suspicious. Count Olaf intends to take them to Peru, masquerading as Dr. Montgomery, and once there, steal their fortune. They are stopped by Mr. Poe, however, and after some detective work, they deduce that Count Olaf, disguised as Stefano, took a vial of venom from the Mamadou Mall and used a syringe to poison Dr. Montgomery with it. Unfortunately, Count Olaf's hook-handed associate is disguised as a doctor and almost gets away with more evil deeds before Sunny realized that that hooks were underneath the doctor's gloves. Count Olaf and his associate get away, vowing to get the Baudelaires. Mr. Poe places them in the care of another guardian, and the Baudelaires are off on the next stage in their unfortunate adventure. Hi, and welcome back to Very Fantastic Discoveries with Junji Fulmer. I'd like to introduce our new recurring guest to the podcast, my dad, Dylan Fulmer. Welcome to the show, Daddy.
Thanks, Junji. How's it going?
Good.
So, how many books are in the series of unfortunate events?
13.
And this is the second one, right?
Yeah.
So, which of the books would you say is your favorite of all the books?
Probably the 12th. The
really?
Penultimate peril.
So we've got a long ways to go before we get to that one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So in terms of the second book, what did you like about the second book the most?
That it establishes a new recurring theme with Count Olaf disguising himself as another person to try and get a hold of the Baudelaires for one.
So he was disguising himself as Stefano this time, right?
Stefano, and
Stefano.
Yes.
So it's interesting to me, like, I haven't read all these books all the way, but I know in speaking with you how, you know, various things about them and watching the show. It's interesting to me how nobody other than the kids understands what's going on with Count Olaf.
Actually, everyone does. There. Okay.
Are you going to give a spoiler away for another book?
Come on.
Okay.
Everyone actually knows. Even Mr. Poe does, believe it or not.
He does. So we'll learn that out later in the series, then, I'm guessing.
It is implied.
So then why don't they do anything if they know something about it?
Probably just for the sake of the plot.
For the sake of the plot. Gotcha. So you mentioned a couple of different things in your summary of this book. So the Herpetological Society that Dr. Montgomery belongs to, what is a Herpetological Society?
A society of herpetologists, which are scientists that take care of reptiles.
Gotcha. What do you think about reptiles?
Well, they are interesting, but I don't think I'd get too close to a dangerous snake.
Yeah.
Good thing that the incredibly deadly viper wasn't actually incredibly deadly and was very friendly instead.
So that was like an obvious, like, misnaming on purpose sort of thing, right?
Misnomer. The reason why Dr. Montgomery did that was because he wanted to get back at his colleagues from the Herpetological Society for years of mockery for his unusual name, Dr. Montgomery Montgomery. He wanted to fool them all into thinking the snake was dangerous and then telling them that it wouldn't hurt a fly.
Gotcha. Interesting. Okay. So in terms of all the various reptiles that you got to meet during the course of this book, what was the most interesting reptile that you got to meet?
I don't know, there was a toad that looked kind of like a church, apparently, and a yellow-striped lizard, and many, many other things. Remember I mentioned the inky newt?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's where Lemony Snicket gets all of his ink.
Could be. So the other thing is, you said that you're doing this is about the second book of a series of unfortunate events. What is the book called?
The Reptile Room.
The Reptile Room.
Because so, Dr. Montgomery has this whole room full of his reptiles that he leads the Baudelaires to.
Gotcha. And so it's just like a big auditorium sort of thing with reptiles all over the place?
Yeah.
Where he studies them and books about reptiles and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Cool. Have you ever been into a reptile room before, like in a zoo or an aquarium?
I can't actually remember, but the room that was depicted in the show version of these books kind of looked like the butterfly place in the botanical gardens almost.
Mm. So what is up with this movie in the book, Zombies in the Snow?
Zombies in the Snow had coded information into it.
Really?
In the subtitles, and that scene was fleshed out a lot in the show into this whole entire sequence, even though it was a short thing in the book.
So what kind of encoded information did it have in it?
Information about a survivor of a fire hidden in a snowman.
What?
Even though that wasn't in the show.
Uh-huh.
I can't imagine why they didn't do that, because survivors of fires and their origins are
important
to the show, yeah.
Considering the fire of the Baudelaire Mansion that you mentioned in the first
episode. Yeah, and the fire of the Quagmire Mansion, the Snicket Mansion,
well,
the Spatz Mansion, the Montgomery Mansion.
But we don't know about any of these yet. We don't even know who the Quagmires are yet.
You will.
We will. Quagmire, hey? So, what else interesting? So, you mentioned Gustav. So, we never see Gustav at all in the book? Dr. Montgomery's assistant?
No, but he was actually fond of caviar, and that's one of the reasons.
That you wanted to get caviar?
Yeah.
Did we get caviar at the store today?
Yeah,
we
did.
Not very good quality caviar from the looks of it, but caviar all the same. So, what is... This is the second book. So in the first book, the Baudelaires were with Mr. Poe and his family.
Yeah, and you noticed Mr. Poe does not show really good judgment at all, because first he placed the bit with an evil villain, and second he placed the bit a good home but allowed Count Olaf to infiltrate it immediately.
Apparently,
they will have to put up with his bad judgment for the next 5 books, unfortunately.
5 books, you say? Well, that's quite some foreshadowing there. In terms of your interest in this overall series of unfortunate events, how many times do you think you've read these books?
I do not know, but I am super glad that your friend agreed to give us those, because I would have missed out on so much if he hadn't.
Right. That was very, very nice of him, don't you think?
Yeah. Do you remember he taught us Series of First Events songs, remember?
Mm-hmm, he did. So what is this Mamba Dumal?
It is a highly poisonous snake.
Uh-huh.
Count Olaf stole some venom from, as I mentioned, to poison Dr. Montgomery. Also, unlike the show, the nurse/doctor associate of Count Olaf's was not the person who looked like neither a man nor a woman, but the hook-handed man.
Gotcha. So, a hook-handed man, did they mention how he got a hook for his hand, or he's just always had a hook since we've known him?
It didn't say how he got his hooks, but he was a normal person once named Fernald.
Fernald?
Fernald. And the stepchild of an important character that we'll see later on.
Gotcha. Anything else you'd like to add about your experience with this book before we wrap up this episode?
So, first, as I said, Count Olaf's disguises are horrible, for one, and I do not understand how no one but the Baudelaires knew that it was Count Olaf. But actually, if I was Mr. Poe and I had no other experience with Count Olaf besides the first book, I would actually not know that that was Count Olaf either. Also, Stefano/Count Olaf can't even remember Mr. Poe's name, as in this book, he calls Mr. Poe Mr. Yo, Mr. Toe, and many other names.
Do you think he could have been pretending?
Probably.
All right, well, Jungi, as always, it's been a pleasure talking with you, and I look forward to joining you on future episodes of your podcast.
Yep.
See ya.
See ya. That's all the time we have for now. Thanks for listening to Very Fantastic Discoveries with me, Jungi Fulmer. Next time, we will tell the story of Arachne, a Greek woman whose hubris got her turned into a spider. Goodbye, and as Count Olaf would say, the world is quiet here.